you would, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 28. And we'll begin reading with verse 10. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of him the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places with whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in his place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob arose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob bowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillow shall be the God's house, and of all that that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Father, we come before you thanking you for all you've done for us. We thank you for meeting with us this morning. But Lord, we need you to meet with us again tonight and touch each of our hearts and guide and direct in our lives. And Father, I just pray that you'll be with each and every one that's here tonight and bless them, strengthen them, meet their very needs. And Father, may you open up our ears that we may hear from you and glorify you. Lord, we pray for our pastor that you would set to empower him and fill him with your spirit and give him the words that we need to hear. And Father, we just pray that we'll honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We have been studying this month the matter of stewardship, and tonight we come to our final message on the subject of stewardship, and I want to speak to you on the subject of stewardship commitments, and just spend a little bit of time thinking about our commitments to the Lord. I came across a little analysis of how America spends its money. And this may be a couple of years old. It could probably be raised up the numbers a little bit. But in America, it says we spend on food $54 billion a year, just on food. On car and the use of a car, we spend $61 billion. On home operations, we spend $50 billion. Clothing, $35 billion. Recreation, $21 billion. Gambling, $47 billion. On alcohol in America, $11 billion. Tobacco, $8 billion. On vacations, $9 billion. Pet food, $500 million on pet food. On toys, $341 million. Greeting cards, $304 million. Chewing gum, $190 million. And on all home and foreign missions, $144 million. So all of the other things that we talked about, we spend more and some way more than we do on home and foreign missions. $144 million. We spend more money on chewing gum than we do on missions. We spend more money on pet food than we do on missions. We spend way more money on vacations than we do on missions. Just gives you a little bit of an idea of how we spend our money. What is our priorities? Now, all of us, the percentages wouldn't fit the same in there, but it helps us to think a little bit about how we spend our money and what do we spend our money on. Now, as we think about stewardship, there are some fundamental facts concerning stewardship that I want to just review and then look at several things tonight. First of all, we talked about this morning. God owns everything. Amen? And I think all of us understand that and agree with that. Secondly, God has made every Christian a steward of our substance. We are a steward of everything that we have and that we have been placed in our hands. Number three, Christians are to tithe their income to their local church for the operational needs of the church. God owns everything. We're stewards. We're to tithe of what God has allowed us to be stewards of. And then fourthly, in stewardship, there's one level of bringing our tithe, and then there are levels of giving, which is over and above our tithe, as we give to the Lord. We give to the Lord to missions. We give to the Lord sometimes faith promise missions, special projects, different things like that, that are over and above our tithe. So one level of bringing the tithe, and then the next level over and above that of expressing our love and appreciation, giving to missions, giving to other projects in our life. Those are just some basic fundamental facts. Now, as we think about commitments, in this story that's given to us in Genesis chapter 29, I want you to notice with me, first of all, God's promises are the basis of our stewardship commitment. In other words, when I make a commitment to the Lord, I commit to God and say, as some of you did this morning, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to begin tithing, or I'm going to continue tithing. Or some of you who wanted to go on to the next level and you say, I want to do more than that. We make a commitment. The promises of God are the basis on which we make those commitments to God. The fourfold basis of Jacob's commitment that's given to us here in Genesis was based on the promises of God. God promised some things to Jacob that I want you to notice. First of all, God promised Jacob his presence. Look back at Genesis chapter 28 again. And notice with me verse number 15, Genesis 28 and verse 15. It says, and behold, I am, what's the next two words? With thee. I am with thee. God said, Jacob, I want to make a promise to you. I am with you. Look at verse number 20. Verse 20 says, and Jacob vowed a vow. So God made a promise. God said, Jacob, I'm with you. So Jacob made a commitment. He vowed a vow to God. He said, if God will be with me, and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I shall come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So God made a promise to Jacob. He said, Jacob, I'll be with you. Jacob said, okay, God, based on your promise, if you will be with me. Now let me ask you a question. If God says, I'll be with you, is there any doubt that God will be with us? No. He's going to keep his word. So Jacob said, God, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to be faithful in your house, and I'm going to bring my tithe if you'll be with me. God said, okay, I made a commitment. I made a promise. I will be with you. Jacob made a commitment based on that promise. There's a second commitment or promise that God made to Jacob, and that is God promised Jacob his protection. God promised his presence. He said, I'm with you. Secondly, he promised his protection. Look back at verse 15 again. And behold, I am with thee and will, what's the next two words? Keep thee in all places whither thou goest. God said, Jacob, not only am I going with you, but I'm going to keep you. I'm going to protect you. Aren't you glad you have the protection of God in your life? You go to bed at nighttime and you can say, Lord, would you watch over everything, take care of everything, and you can go to sleep and not worry about it all night long. Amen? I remember years ago, Dr. John R. Rice, I had the opportunity of hearing him preach a number of times, was a well-known preacher. And Dr. Rice, another preacher, was traveling in some meetings, and he said they ended up speaking at the same conference, and they ended up being in the same motel room, and they put the speakers up, And this one preacher, he said, I wanted to see how Dr. Rice, this great preacher, I wanted to see how he prayed at nighttime before he went to bed. And so he said, we got back to the room, we talked, we get ready for bed. He said, I'm watching to see what John R. Rice does before he goes to bed. He said he climbed in bed, he raised his head up a little bit, he looked this way, he looked this way, and said, Lord, take care of everything. And he was gone, he said, just like that. Now, he understood God's promise. I will keep thee. I will keep thee. God promised to us his presence. He promised to us his protection. Now, look at verse number 20. In verse 20, it says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will what? Keep me in the way that I go. God said, I'll be with you. Jacob said, all right, if you'll be with me, I'll be faithful in the house of God, and I'll be faithful in my tithing. God said, I'm going to keep you. Jacob said, okay, if you'll keep me, I'm going to be faithful in your house. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to bring 10% of what you've given to me. Based, you understand what I'm saying? Based on the promise of God, Jacob made his commitment to God. We make our commitments to God based on the promises of God. Look at the third thing God promised Jacob. He promised his provision. In verse number 20, again it says this. Verse number 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me what? Bread to eat and raiment to put on. If he's going to give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Aren't you glad God's provided for you and for me, and he's promised his provision? He said, I'm going to give you bread to eat. I'm going to give you clothes to wear. Now, I'm kind of glad he doesn't do like he did the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. Remember, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And God said that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. How many of you like to go to for 40 years and not get a new pair of shoes? Now, or a new dress, or a new pair of pants, or a new shirt. Now, there's some ways I would like that. I'd like to be able to wear the same clothes I wore 40 years ago. Amen? How many of you'd like to do that too? Some of you shaking your head, no. All except those big wide ties, you remember some of you these. But but God says, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I'll provide your food. I'll provide your clothes. Remember over in Matthew, the Lord talked about worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. And he said, I take care of the birds. I take care of the flowers of the field. And he said to you and me, we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. God's promise of his presence, his promise of his protection, his promise of his provision. He promised something else to Jacob. He promised peace. Look at verse 21. So that I come again to my father's house in what? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had peace in the world today? I want to tell you something. With all the war that's going on around the world, with all the unsettledness, with all the terrorism, I'm glad to know I still can have peace with my God. And God can give me peace in the most troubling circumstances around. There may be troubling circumstances in your home. There may be troubling circumstances in your marriage. There may be troubling circumstances on the job. But in all of that, God can still give us peace in our heart. Therefore, being justified by faith, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, I think it is verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It used to be when people were dying, people would ask them the question, have you made peace with God? I'm glad tonight I can say to you, I've made peace with God. Amen. We have the peace of God. Paul put it this way. He said, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's promised to us his peace. And Jacob said, okay, God, if you'll be with me, and if you'll protect me, and if you'll provide for me, and if you'll give me peace, he said, then there's some things that I'll do. I'm going to make a commitment based on the promises. We really can't make any commitments without basing it on God's promises. I can't commit. Let's say I say, okay, I'm gonna tithe. I'm gonna make sure I bring my tithe every week, and I make a commitment to do that. You know what? I can't tithe if God doesn't keep his promise. My God shall supply all your need. If God doesn't give me anything, I don't have anything to give back. 10% of nothing's nothing. So God makes promises to me and commitments to me, and therefore, based on those promises, I can make commitments to God and say, God, I'm going to honor your house, and I'm going to honor your tithe, and God says, all right, I'll give you my presence, I'll give you my protection, I'll give you my provision, I'll give you my peace. So the fourfold basis of Jacob's stewardship commitment was based on the promises of God. And then God made to you and to me these very same promises that he made to Jacob. God's promised us today he'll do the same for us. He's promised us his presence. Hebrews says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Aren't you glad God's with you all the time? We have his presence. He's promised his protection. He's promised us his provision. He's promised us his peace. We have the same commitments, promises that God made to Jacob. He's made them to us today. There are many Christians that claim the promises of God and make their stewardship commitments and have been greatly blessed of the Lord because they've been faithful to those commitments we made based on the promises of God. There's a second thing that I want to mention tonight very quickly, and that is, based on God's promises, I believe every Christian is obligated to make a stewardship commitment. Since we have God's promises, God says, here's what I'm going to do for you. Since God has done something for me, God wants me to do something for him. Guys, do you remember the first time you looked at that girl and you said, I love you? Now, if you said, I love you, you made a commitment to her, didn't you? How many of you, when you said, I love you, she just looked back at you and didn't say anything? Don't raise your hand. You made a commitment, I love you, and what did you expect? You expected her to make a commitment back to you, didn't you? I love you. God says, there's some things that I'm going to do for you. And since I've made some commitments to you, God says, I expect you to make some commitments back to me. Amen. We are so blessed. God has been so good to us. You look at America, and we have our problems, but I still believe America is the greatest country in the world. And we have some obligations to make some commitments to God because of his blessings on us. First of all, Jacob's stewardship commitment involved two things. It involved God's house, first of all. Look at verse number 22 again. He said, in verse 21, he said, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He said, if you're going to give me your protection, your provision, if you're going to give me the peace, if you're going to be with me, he said, then first of all, he said, you're going to be my God. I'm going to serve you and worship you as my God. And then look at what he said in verse 22. For this stone, which I have set up for a pillow, shall be God's house. Now back up a minute to verse number 19. Verse 18 says, Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place, what's the next word? Bethel. The word El in the Hebrew language, the word El is God. The word Beth is house. So when he said this is going to be Bethel, he's saying this is going to be the house of God. And so he called the name of the place Bethel, or the house of God. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And then verse 22, Jacob says, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. It's Bethel. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth. I will give the tenth unto thee. Jacob said, God, you're going to be my God, and this is your house. I'm going to honor your house. This place where we've set this stone, this pillar, where we're going to come and worship you, this is the house of God. We're here tonight because we've made a commitment to the house of God. Amen. We've made a commitment to the God of this house, but we've also made a commitment to the house of our God. And we ought to be committed to the church. We ought to be faithful to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And whenever the doors are open, we'll look forward to getting back to God's house. And I know you do. You want to come and you want to fellowship and worship and hear from the Lord. And so it involved God's house. Secondly, it involved God's money. It involved God's money. Verse 22 again, he said, and I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He made a commitment. Jacob defined the tenth, 10% of his income, 10% of his increase. And he says in there, he says, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. But I want you to back up a little bit before that. He said, this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will give the tenth unto thee. He said, Lord, of all that you give me, I'm going to give the tenth back to you. Now, that's a pretty good definition, all. Somebody said all means all, and that's all it means, all. But you stop and think for a moment. When you say all, I'm going to give 10% of all. That includes my salary. That includes my bonuses. That includes my health insurance. That includes my retirement plan. That includes Christmas presents and birthday presents. That includes every increase that I have. That includes when somebody takes me out to dinner. That's an increase. I tithe. I should tithe on everything. Of all that thou givest me. You know, sometimes we take our paycheck and we take 10% out of that and say, here's my tithe. What about all the other increases that God gave you that week? Did he give you any increase? I remember one time I was working on the fence line over here. The house next door is raking some leaves out of there. And the kids were helping. We found 20 bucks in the leaves over there. You know what? That was an increase. Tithe off of it. One day I was going to a heating and air conditioning place over in Florence off of Industrial Road. It's pouring down rain. And I pulled into this place, and I opened my car door to get out and go inside. When I opened my car door and looked down the step down, there was a $20 bill laying in the water on the parking lot. Now, how are you going to find out whose $20 bill that is? I don't know how to figure out whose it was. I said, thank you, Lord. And I took Vicky out to eat that evening for dinner. And you know what? I tithed on that $20. It's an increase. You understand, Jacob said, of all that thou givest me, I'll give the tenth, I'll bring the tenth. So it involved God's house, it involved God's money. Then I want you to notice Jacob's commitment. His commitment in verse 22, again, he said, and this stone shall be God's house. This stone is God's house. What did that make that? It's God's house, therefore it becomes the storehouse where Jacob would pay his tithe. Remember the verse in Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. We bring the tithe into the local church. He made a commitment to the church. He made a commitment to God. He made a commitment that involved his money. And he said, I'm going to bring my money and give it to God through the local church. And that's still God's plan today for us to bring our tithe to the local church. And then notice with me also that God kept his promise to Jacob. God kept his promise. Look over a couple of chapters to chapter 33 and look at verse number 11. Genesis chapter 33 and look at what verse number 11 says. It says in verse 11, take, I pray thee, what's the next two words there? My blessing. God said, take my blessing that is brought to thee because God hath dealt graciously with me. And because I have, what's the next word? Enough. And he urged him and he took it. Now what is he talking about when he says, take the blessing that is brought to thee? Remember when Jacob and Esau were back home? And Dad was about to die? And Jacob told, Isaac told his son, he told Esau, go out and get some of your venison and make that savory meat that I love and bring it back for me. And so he goes out, and what did Jacob's mom do? She said, you go get a goat and fix it. I'll fix it like the savory meat, and we'll bring it in. And he said, well Dad, he'll know that I don't have the outdoor smell on me of being out in the woods and all. And he'll feel my hands that I'm not hairy like my brother. And so she put some of the skins of the animals on, and they deceived Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau. He stole the blessing. And when he stole the blessing, and when Esau came back from out in the field, Dad had already eaten the savory meat of Jacob, and he had already blessed him, given him the blessings, and he said, Dad, don't you just have at least one blessing for me? And he gave a blessing to his son as well. But then, you know what Esau said about Jacob? He said, as soon as Dad's dead and we bury him and everything settles down, I'm going to go find him and kill him. And Jacob, as you know, had to flee for his life, and he went to his back to the homeland, and he worked there with Laban for 14 plus years. And he's there working, and now he's ready. He leaves Laban, and he's getting ready to come back, and he's coming back to where he lived, to where Esau lives. And while he's heading back, Esau's heading towards him. And Jacob sends some of his men to take some blessings, some gifts, some food, some goodies to his brother to appease him so that he'll not be mad at him. And that's what he's saying here. Take, I pray, the blessing that I brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. And he urged him and he took it. Now he's coming back. God had told him, remember what he said? He said, if you will provide for me and protect me and bring me home again in what? Peace. Now he comes back. And instead of Esau trying to kill him, there's peace. Amen? There's peace with each other. God kept his promise to Jacob. Because of Jacob's stewardship, God made Jacob a very wealthy man. And that is implied in the message that he gave to Esau when he said, I have enough. I have enough. Let me ask you a question tonight. Can you say, I have enough? Now, I don't mean, are you not going to go to work tomorrow and say, I'm not going to work anymore, don't need any money, don't need anything, you know. But are you satisfied with what God's blessed you with? Somebody said, what would it take to make a millionaire happy? And they said, another million. You know, somewhere along the line, you got to come to the point where you say, I got enough. God's blessed me. Most of us could find ways to spend a little bit more and have a little bit more, but most of us have enough. My God shall supply all your need. Not all your wants or wishes, but your need. God's blessed us. He's given us so much. He made Jacob a wealthy man. He kept his promise to Jacob. God also kept his promise to Jacob to bring him home in peace. Look again at chapter 33 and look at verse number 4. Verse 4 says, and Esau ran to meet him, Jacob, and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. They're no longer coming. Esau wasn't coming to kill him. He greets him. He throws his arms around him. God brought him back in peace. God kept his promise. Now, God removed all the animosity that was in the heart of Esau for his brother. Did God keep his promise to Jacob? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Now let me ask you the reverse of that question. Did Jacob keep his stewardship commitment to the Lord? Now you're thinking, you're tricking us, Brother Tim. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Look at verse 17. Chapter 33, verse 17. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him a house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Salem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, as when he came from Padanaram, and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money, and he erected there an altar and called it Israel. Now, when you read those verses, something doesn't click. Amen? You don't hear anything about Bethel, do you? You see, Jacob didn't keep his commitment to the Lord. And instead of going back to Bethel, he went to another place. And he did set up his altar and so forth there, and set up what he would call the house of God at that place. And he did not do what he promised he would do. And for the next 10 years, he was out of the will of God. I wonder how many times we have gone where we wanted and done what we wanted instead of what God wanted. Jacob erected an altar at Succoth in opposition to the house of God at Bethel. Verse number 17, again, he says, he journeyed to Succoth and built him an house, made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. God did not accept Jacob's altar at Succoth. Why? Because it was not the house of God. God tells us we're to honor the God, and we're to honor the house, and we're to honor the money. And Jacob did not do that. Now notice the story of God's judgment upon Jacob for not keeping his stewardship commitment in chapter 34. You come to the next chapter in verse 34, chapter 34 and verse 1 says, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem," here he is in Shechem when he should have been at Bethel, "the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her and took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto her father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife." God's judgment on Jacob because he didn't keep his promise. Jacob's daughter, Dinah, was defiled. She was actually raped and disgraced. Verse number 5 says, "And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with the cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come." So first of all, his daughter was defiled. And then notice what Jacob's sons did. They took the law into their own hands, and they slew the men that had defiled Dinah. Look at verse number 25 of that chapter. Chapter 34, verse 25 and 26. It says, "And it came to pass on the third day, they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took each man his sword, came upon the city boldly, and slew all the male. They slew Hamor the and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out." So the daughters defiled. The sons go take the law into their own hands, and they kill the men of this place of Shechem, where they weren't supposed to be to start with. And then he robbed all of those families of their wealth. Look at verse 27. "The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. And they took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field. And all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took them, they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house." They robbed the families of their wealth. And Jacob, the dad, now he is disgraced. And his life is in danger. Look at verse 30. It says, "And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, Ye have troubled to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house." Now I share all of that just to say this. What a tremendous price Jacob paid because he didn't keep his stewardship commitment to God. Amen? He didn't go back to Bethel and give the tithe of all that God had blessed him with. And he suffered greatly as a result of it. Could I say to you tonight, and I'm not trying to be mean or cruel or scare you, but just to say this, if you are not tithing, very little is going to go right in your life. There's going to be problems. And then finally, I want you to notice that God reminded Jacob of his stewardship commitment. After all of this happened, look at chapter 35, the next chapter, verse number 1. "And God said to Jacob, Arise and go" where? "To Bethel." God said, "Jacob, it's time for you to get back to the house of God. It's time for you to get back where you promised to pay your tithe. Time for you to get back and honor the true and the living God. Go back to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went." They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz Remember, that was the name of Bethel before he changed the name. It was called Luz. Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. That is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel. Now we said Bethel is what? House of God. If El is God, Beth is house. Now he says El Bethel. What is he saying? He's calling it the God of the house of God. See, now he comes back and he builds an altar and he calls it El Bethel. You see, he had to get back in a right relationship with God. And then he could get back in right relationship with the house of God. Then he could get back in right relationship with his stewardship commitment of giving a tenth of all that God blessed him with. So he called the place El Bethel because there God appeared unto him. And when he fled from the face of his brother, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bashuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram. And what's the last two words of verse number 9? Blessed him. Well, he had a lot of problems when he got to Succoth, didn't he? But he came back to Bethel. Guess what happened back at Bethel? Got back to the house of God, got back to the God of the house of God, got back to a stewardship commitment. And what's God say? God blessed him. You want the blessings of God on your life? Stay faithful to your commitments. Stay faithful in honoring the house of God, honoring God and the house of God, and honoring him with the finances that he's blessed us with. God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel. That was a reminder to Jacob of the stewardship commitment he had made at Bethel many years ago. When Jacob obeyed God and paid his tithe, God blessed him. Let me ask you this in closing tonight. Have you ever made a stewardship commitment to God? Keep your commitment. Bring your tithe. Where do you bring it? To the house of God. Amen. To the house of God. Have you made a vow that you've gone back on? Have you moved away from the house of God? Have you moved away from the commitment to God? Do you want God's blessings again, or do you want God's blessings for the first time? Honor God, honor the house of God, and honor your commitment to bring a tenth of all to the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege we have of giving to you. What an honor. And you've promised us again, as we saw this morning in Malachi 3:10, you said, prove me now herewith and see if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And we see it again in Jacob's life here. You blessed him, and then he got away from you, and he had all kinds of problems. And then he came back to Bethel, and you blessed him again. Lord, I don't know where each person is here tonight, but I know this. We want your blessings on our life. Some of us may want it for the first time. Some of us may want it again. Get back to the blessings of God. We've had enough of the problems and the struggles and the difficulties because we haven't honored you and honored your house and honored you with our finances. Help us to come back. Help us to have the blessings again on our life. You would be honored, that you would be glorified, that you would be pleased, and in turn we would be blessed. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name.